I'm Steve Lascazo, and this is The Way. Welcome to the July 2023 This Is The Way podcast Star Wars news update. There might be a LEGO Star Wars Halloween special featuring the Mandalorian this year. Mandoween, I think it was revealed on some display at San Diego Comic-Con. It's just a little news note that I saw on my favorite Star Wars news aggregator, StarWarsNews.net. But the mention comes while there are problems for production plaguing Hollywood. Writers and actors are on strike. So if things are being edited or already in post-production, even if they're finished, the possibility exists that those projects sit unreleased until there is some resolution. Ahsoka may be an exception, but it's not August yet, so they don't even need to announce a change from the 23rd. Not that Disney or Lucasfilm would do that anyway, based on how they've pretended in the past. Okay, it is time to update you on Star Wars news since our last news update podcast. Ahsoka's latest trailer debuted with new footage in mid-July, and though I've yet to review it for our podcast channel, it certainly hasn't lowered my expectations for the show. I like the character of Ahsoka, and I like the portrayal by Rosario Dawson so far in The Mandalorian and The Book of Boba Fett, and I'm excited to see Hera, Sabine, Ezra, Thrawn, Mon Mothma, maybe even Jason Syndulla? LEGO is releasing a new Ghost and Phantom 2 set that has him, Jason, as a dark-haired character in the set, not green-haired like at the end of Rebels. And they also reveal two possible new crew members for the show, a Mon Cala and a human that we might see in the trailers, maybe not. Lieutenant Beta, B-E-Y-T-A, is the Mon Calamari, and First Officer Hawkins is the human. That is not a confirmation of an appearance in the show, but it's out there, so maybe. The set will come out on September 1st, which might actually be the first Force Friday, at least of this year. There are a couple other sets coming out too, so why isn't this in the collector's section of the podcast, you ask? Well, there might be more reveals, is the answer. Ahsoka's T6 shuttle is one of the sets coming, with Sabine and Hu Yang as characters. There's also what might be a Sith Inquisitor named Marok. That's probably the name of the one with the spinning blades that we see in the trailers. I imagine that that scene is going to come in the first episode, maybe even like a prelude to the show or something. I mean, Inquisitors surely died out before even Rogue One, right? So maybe it's part of a flashback, or is this guy a late bloomer, or part of the group that's led by Baylan Skoll and Shin Hati, or are they instead the last two of that group that remain? Speaking of that group, another LEGO set is coming that features two starfighters, a New Republic blue and white E-Wing, and Shin's yellow and red craft in the same box. The good guy pilot character is named Captain Porter, but surely this guy's not making out of the episode alive, right? He's probably not his accompanying astromech in the set either. Baylan and Shin characters are there, as is Morgan Elsbeth, but we see her in the trailer, so we know she's there. There were some more small news items out of San Diego Comic-Con, but since there's still a few weeks to go before the show comes out, I imagine it'll be mid-August before significant leaks start coming out and more footage starts appearing in TV spots. But again, that's if the show appears when it is said to appear, because the strike may change things.
This is a new beginning.
Moving on to The Acolyte, and it is a show that I'm only going to give brief updates on from now on because of showrunner Leslie Headlin and her attitude towards traditional Star Wars and fans like me. Two notes I noticed were that they spent around $50 million just in pre-production, and there was another note that said she included a Wookiee Jedi in the show because of her appreciation for the movie Solo. Both of those notes are good things. Less impressive is her insistence that this is going to be the most diverse and have the most aliens and most Jedi of any Star Wars content to date. Hanel M. Culpepper announced herself as directing episodes 6 and 8 of season 1. And since we heard a while back there was to be 8 episodes, that would mean she helms the season finale. Jason McAuliffe is said to have sole writing credit on that finale, which is odd since usually the showrunner takes that credit. Not always, but usually, along with the pilot. And I think that has to do with royalties, but I don't know who is getting credited on the pilot. But hey, that's all for up for argument now anyway, with the striking going on and streaming royalties and all that to be considered. Headland and maybe Jocelyn Bio, B-O-B-I-O-H, were revealed by Culpepper to have written her other episode, episode 6. There are some other news items from StarWarsNews.net on The Acolyte. And as the show gets closer, we will continue to skim that news until we either hear a course correction, or, more likely, we get to the point where this podcast is just going to have to ignore the show completely. I vaguely referenced why that is on past news update podcasts. Rather on focus what we perceive as negatives, we're going to try and steer our discussion in line with our beliefs in politics, and we're going to try not to exclude beliefs that don't fall in line with ours, but it's not really a two-way street, at least with Headland.
Yeah.
Andor is one of several Disney Plus Star Wars shows to receive Emmy Award nominations. The ceremony is scheduled for September 18th, and it's supposed to air on Fox, but was that going to even happen if there's a strike going on? In the meantime, being nominated is terrific. I will start with some nominations that don't necessarily make the most sense. But I got to tell you, Obi-Wan is nominated at all? That is shockingly suspect, in my opinion. I think money does change the way things are nominated in Hollywood. The Mandalorian has 9 nominations. Andor 8. And Obi-Wan Kenobi has 5. Okay, listen, the leader in shows with nominations is Succession, and it's got 27, and I'm not going to argue that. Ted Lasso, 21 nominations, deserved, surely. Barry has 11? That's 3 more than Andor. Okay. House of the Dragon, 8. Okay, I guess, as many as Andor. But Better Call Saul has only 7, which is as many as RuPaul's Drag Race? The Crown only has 6. The Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power, has 6 nominations. Thankfully, those are all like visual effects and music, which are easily the only 2 good parts of that show. Stranger Things had 6. Obi-Wan Kenobi has 5. One of those 5 is for Outstanding Limited or Anthology Series. Really? Okay. Another is for Costumes. There's one for picture editing, and sound mixing. Sound mixing and editing were my most frequent and earliest complaints about the show. Thank goodness none were for writing and none for acting or directing. I'd argue special effects are reasonable to exclude as well, but the show was just awful. So The Mandalorian got 9 nominations. It had a nomination for cinematography, and no surprise there, it was a Dean Cundey episode, The Foundling. Outstanding costumes, hairstyling, makeup, non-prosthetic, sound editing, which again, I cannot agree having listened so carefully just to be able to pull clips out, but it was for the season 3 finale, so maybe that ended up being better than almost all of the rest of the season, but it just doesn't feel right. Outstanding sound mixing nomination, which again, same episode, so maybe it was slightly better, but I just wonder what we're judging against. Special visual effects nomination in a season? Certainly. Stunt coordination? No argument there, and I hope J.J. Dashnaw gets the win for that. The nomination for The Mandalorian, though, is for stunt performance, because Lateef Crowder, Paul Darnell, and J.J. Dashnaw are nominated, but not Brendan Wayne? I mean, Crowder and Wayne are the guys who made The Mandalorian look so good for us. Not Pedro Pascal, but, you know, he's probably more interested in his nomination for acting for The Last of Us anyway. to me, Andor has the best nomination of the bunch. 8 nominations, starting off with, I mean, it is the outstanding drama series, in my opinion. It should win, probably won't, for some reason I can't fathom. Also, a nomination for the main title theme music. And remember, there was a new variation for every episode. Not because he was asked, but because Nicholas Britell thought, this is going to help tell the story. He's also the guy who does the music for Succession, don't forget. The finale episode garnered some people more than a couple of nominations. Cinematography nomination for Damian Garcia, directing for Ben Caron, and music composition for Britell. Sound editing for the episode, The Eye. But again, if I have to point out a weakness for Star Wars shows the past 2 years, it's going to be in the mix, sound mix, and in the sound editing. That's just my opinion. Special visual effects, you get no argument from me. And only one writing nomination. Hard to believe, but Bo Willimon probably should win for One Way Out.
What? What did he say?
Can't swim!
Video gamers, the Outlaw game had a panel at San Diego Comic-Con, and one of the notes on the game is pretty interesting. The maps for the game are maybe double or triple the size of maps in the game Assassin's Creed Odyssey. That is an enormous open-world game. Not to be the fly in the ointment, though, but if the game's not good or fun, map size is not going to be the saving grace. But there's still a lot to learn about the game, and plenty of time to hear more good news like that, so count us cautiously optimistic that the game might at least compare to something like Jedi Fallen Order or Survivor. The descriptions given in one of the panels of the planets, the aliens, criminal organizations, clans, friendly characters, they've all been more impressive to me so far than the trailer was, which I think is a poor selling product point for the product. I don't think the trailer was that great, especially when I hear all of the things coming out that excite people about gaming.
Kenner brings you 65 incredible Star Wars action figures, each sold separately.
All right, collectors. Yes, we have those aforementioned Lego sets to look forward to, but there are some amazing items coming as revealed in the lead up to Comic-Con, the San Diego Comic-Con itself, and then leading out of it as well. There is a Lightsaber Forge Mandalorian Masterwork set that oddly does not include anything that I saw the armor work on or use at all. For an all-plastic 7-piece set. I mean, it does have the Darksaber blade, or so it says. I mean, it didn't look like it in the packaging, but, well, definitely take a close look at this thing before you plunk down $50, because that's the price point for it. There's a Galactic Action Ahsoka Tano figure. 12 inches tall, has buttons that trigger voiced phrases by, I guess, Rosario Dawson? I mean, they're generic phrases, but I guess she is Ahsoka now, right? No matter what you think about the animated series, Rosario Dawson is going to be the selling point going forward. What might be more popular is what's called an electronic mask that features Ahsoka's Leku, and again, there's a phrase or two activated by pressing a button on the headpiece. I haven't heard it, but I'm guessing spoken by Rosario Dawson or a sound-alike. She also gets a Masterworks Lightsaber Forge set, though hers is probably more screen accurate than the one I saw for The Mandalorian. But can you ever consider an all-plastic kid-safe lightsaber set in any way, shape, or form as screen accurate?
No way.
That set of 2 saber blades is also going to cost $50, and that'll be out by the end of the summer. There is a vintage collection Jabba's Throne set with a 3.5-inch Jabba, I'm guessing height, not length. They have his throne pad, Salacious B. Crumb, 8D8 smelter droid, an armrest, pillows, rugs, aquarium, pipe, food and drink accessories. So a total of 3 figures, the dais, and 7 entertainment accessories, all for only $90.
What's that?
Hasbro also announced a Kersantan figure exclusive to the 2023 San Diego Comic-Con that is part of the exclusive vintage collection. I checked at the time of this recording. In fact, I stopped recording after I said the word collection just to double check to see if it was available, and it is. So any remaining stock is available now, as of now recording, on HasbroPulse.com, and it became available on July 28th at noon. This podcast airing after that. So good luck. Maybe you will find some left there, but it's about $40, and it does say that it is the Comic-Con exclusive set of Chrysanthemum.
Where does that leave us now?
There was a day one announcement at Comic-Con by Hasbro of a Black Series pre-Vizsla, and comments I saw in the Star Wars online community were savaging the look of the character, or at least his face, without a helmet. Never mind, animated characters never appear in live action the same as they do in the comics. And they may look different, but I'll say it's not even close to the only images we have of the character. So there might be something there. There's a Star Wars Mission Fleet version of Ahsoka's T-6 shuttle, a Droidables edition of R2-D2, BB-8, and Chopper. Day 2, Hasbro announced a HasLab vintage version of the Ghost with crew members, available at different price thresholds. So the base version has Harrison Dula. But I got to be honest, I don't know if this one's going to get fulfilled. And they may take it off availability. But Tier 3, you unlock Zeb. And then Tier 2 is Kanan Jarrus. And Tier 1 is Ezra Bridger characters. So, I mean, again, There have been cases in the past where they haven't had enough pre-orders to make the final product, and then everybody gets their money back. So that may be the case. The price points are a little steep. Same day, day two, the Ahsoka Tano Force FX Elite lightsaber was announced for $250. Now, if you're going to go and buy a version of a lightsaber at Galaxy's Edge, then that price point probably doesn't scare you too much. There's also an announcement of a vintage collection Sabine Wren with a Loth Cat, a Black Series Ahsoka Tano reminiscent of Rosario Dawson, and a General Syndulla resembling Mary Elizabeth Winstead. There's a vintage collection Ahsoka as well, and it's not surprising since this, you know, it's a strong female character lead of their next show. And there's a Black Series version of Sabine that resembles Natasha Lou Bordizzo as well. There will be a Return of the Jedi retro pack. It includes 3 3/4-inch scale figures of Admiral Ackbar, Wicket, Mon Mothma, an Emperor's Royal Guard, a Gamorrean Guard, and Yak Face. And when it says retro, that means it comes in the classic Kenner packaging style. They look a bit weathered. I'm guessing there's a stamp somewhere on the item itself, on the figure itself, but still, you don't want to mix these in with your classic characters because it might be hard to pick them out. $73? That's a lot to ask for a retro Jedi set that doesn't include Han, Leia, Vader, Luke. And even though most people probably have one or two, it should probably contain the Emperor as well. Otherwise, maybe knock half off the price of that. But $73 is what it's going for. $72.99, I think. Oh. I also noticed a holiday version Black Series Ewok and a Mandalorian with an Anzellan figure, plus a Nutcracker-themed Purge Trooper, a Jawa Claws with Salacious B. Crumb, a Snowman Snow Trooper, KX Series droid with BD-1 unit, and there is a Life Day Chewbacca 2. All these characters come in garish holiday colors, like blue, gold, and white, I guess, for Hanukkah. And then there's red and green, a lot of red and greens, for Christmas. But these are just so, so weird for Star Wars to agree to put on the market. I wonder to myself, like, there are probably going to be some collectors who are snapping these up because they want them as an investment. But if a lot of people do that, then there will be a lot of those characters out there in 20 years, and nobody's going to care about them. But if you don't pick one up, and these things are really hard to find 20 years from now, they could be worth a lot of money. So, I mean, that's the game of being a collector, I suppose, but much more sensible are things like this Black Series R2-D2 with gadget accessories. That's accessible to me. I mean, accessories and accessible. That's something that I like, something that I would feel comfortable putting on my shelf, right? There's a vintage collection pre-visa. It doesn't look quite right either, just like the other one I mentioned earlier. I don't know what they did with that. Maybe Pre-Vizsla is coming back in some way or in some show, and he's going to look more like the character that they're putting out. I just don't know how you screw that up so bad. There is a vintage collection Grand Admiral Thrawn. I'm sure that's going to be a big hit. Maybe even bigger, though. A Darth Revan figure in the vintage collection. It looks amazing, and the Knights of the Old Republic figure is only going to cost $17. It's available for pre-order now with a spring 2024 shipping date. So that may be a huge... I know a lot of people consider Knights of the Old Republic one of their favorite Star Wars stories. Then there's a vintage collection Imperial officer set. There are two unnamed officers, I think, but there's also an Admiral Piette, and for the first time in the vintage set, it says Admiral Mati. That's the dude that almost gets force choked by Vader in A New Hope.
Don't try to frighten us with your sorcerer's ways, Lord Vader. Your sad devotion to that ancient religion has not helped you conjure up the stolen data tapes, or given you clairvoyance enough to find the rebels' hidden fort. A
couple more things to mention. There's a Black Series Obi-Wan Kenobi Jedi Legend version, and I assume it's called that because it's probably the oldest that the Ewan McGregor model has looked on a toy yet. He comes with goggles, his lightsaber, and the model that he gives to Luke that we first saw in A New Hope, the ship model. And we saw that gifted at the end of the Obi-Wan Kenobi series. Next is a Qui-Gon Jinn Force Ghost figure. It looks absolutely amazing. And I know I talk a lot of times that I say I'm going to buy it. I actually did. I pre-ordered this figure. The cloak is like a translucent purple and blue fabric, and it helps sell the implication that he's a Force Ghost, but his legs, and even maybe up to his hands, are likewise a bit see-through and bluish, purplish color. Seriously, you got to check out the images available from Hasbro. Also, a must-see is there's a Hot Toys collection that was announced at the con. Now, there's an Anakin that is absolutely amazingly detailed. It has what it looks like real hair on it. It has movable eyeballs, so you can, when you pose it, you can also move the eyeballs to fit the way you're posing it. And then it's part of a, I think it's part of a special DX Series Artisan Edition. And there's a limited production of 3,000. So there's a wait list, I think. But if it's limited, and it's that impressive as it looks in pictures, the price is going to be high, and so will demand. Still, the pictures were that impressive, and it was worth mentioning to me. I think it was newsworthy. And besides, there were other figures announced. Maybe not as impressive, maybe not part of the Artisan Edition, but they are Hot Toys. Still probably easier to get. There's a Stormtrooper, or a Sand Trooper, I guess, maybe, riding a highly detailed Dewback. That's from the Special Edition New Hope. There's an IG-12 with Grogu Pilot in the chest. That looks really cool. I mean, that could be a collector's item. The Armorer gets a Hot Toys figure. R5-D4, okay. And then there are two Mandalorian Warriors, I don't think with names. But then there's what's described as a life-sized Anzellan. Remember, those little aliens are small, so the Hot Toys is going to be life-sized, and boy, do those guys look squeezable.
No, squeezy! Squeeze!
There's one more item that I noticed on StarWarsNews.net, but it's on the why would you buy that side of collectibles. It is a Daniel Arsham collaboration with Sideshow Collectibles of a crystalline sculpture of C-3PO. Now, our old friend and former guest host Andy may be the target customer for this. It'll measure 18.5 inches, be made to evoke an ancient artifact. And what I mean by that is, it's not gold. It's a white crystal-looking thing, maybe rock, or I don't even know if it's solid like that. It might feel really flimsy. Pictures are hard to tell, but it looks either unfinished or damaged or eroded, not really antique. It's got pieces where you can see what look like exposed crystals on his body. So maybe if you're a Daniel Arsham fan, or maybe if this is the piece that fits your collection of C-3PO stuff, I don't know, but it's priced at $700. So if 3PO is your favorite, still, please spend your money on something else.
Just one more thing.
And we've reached the part of our show where we talk about Disney Parks news. Not much, but I was curious. And Galactic Star Cruiser still does not have any new bookings available. And the website states that it's been that way since May 26th of this year. For the second time this podcast, I stopped and went and checked just to make sure I had the absolute latest information at the time of recording. Now, it's still not available. It does offer a glimmer of hope, though, to those hoping to get a voyage in before the Cruise Like Hotel closes for good this fall. The website still states a very limited number of rooms could become available for new bookings from time to time. Please continue to check the website for any updates to availability. In all the times I've checked, I've yet to see an availability show up. But then again, I'm not trying too hard because the price hasn't changed. It's still super expensive, and if you are one of the last people to go, good on you.
I think we can let him off with a warning this time.
All right, if you think I've missed something or disagree with me, send email to thisisthewaypodcast@gmail.com. How else can you interact? Well, all our links can be found in one place at Linktree. linktr.ee/thisisthewaypod. Yes, I know one of the things listed there is Twitter, and I know it's changing to X or whatever, but I'm in no hurry to change that information, especially since most people are still going to call it Twitter anyway, at least for a little while until things either go back to the way they were or they do eventually change to X. What do you say? I'm Xing someone? No, you're probably still saying I'd tweet. In fact, on the website, I think it still says tweet this or tweet. So they're not even completely changed. Thank you so much for joining me, your host, for This Is The Way Podcast's July 2023 news update. Until next time, I'm Steve Laskowski. May the Force be with you, always.